I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Connor Orr writes for NFL.com, and he's been gracious enough to join us now, talk a little football. How are you, Connor? Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
We're doing fine, Connor. First off, just wanted to, you know, we're obviously in the middle of Buffalo Bills country here, and everybody is all excited. They bought in everything, Rex Ryan, all the free agent signings and so forth. But we want to get a perspective maybe from the outside looking in. And I know you had a column the other day there talking about five teams that are going to make the playoffs this year, and you've included the Bills number two on that. Tell us a little bit about your perspective of the Bills from as an outsider.
Well, I've kind of had a unique perspective, if only because before I came to NFL.com, I covered the first 3 years of the Rex Ryan era in New York, and this is extremely similar to the way that things have gone. I mean, Rex will come in, he'll energize that team, he'll be a coach like none of the other players have seen before, and he'll talk his general manager into signing top-tier talent and create. So right when he comes in, he's going to have a very good team. And not to say that his act wears off, but you know, it's especially effective over those first 2 or 3 years, which is why I think, you know, scheme aside, which will improve under Rex, I think that he's going to have his team motivated far beyond the 9-7 team that almost made the playoffs a year ago.
Talking with Connor Orr from NFL.com. So you have the Bills going to the playoffs next year?
I do. I think that, you know, I still think the Patriots are sort of the pace setters in the division, but I see no reason why a 9-7 team that got significantly better this offseason and will have a much better defensive coach to put those pieces in the right place, I see no reason why they shouldn't improve by a game or two and snag a wild card spot.
Talking about getting back to Rex Ryan, Connor, you know, and a lot of guys I talked to who covered him in New York too said the same thing, that he's, you know, he's charismatic and, you know, gets everybody excited and energized early on. But in the end, it will wear down. Do you think it could be different this time around, or is it just that's just the way Rex is?
I think it could definitely be different this time around. You know, Rex was doing what he was doing. He was being unique in the hardest market in the country to be unique. I mean, you know, and I think that in Buffalo, not that, you know, the market is a little bit smaller, and I think there are certain things that he might be able to get away with, certain things that he might be able to say that he just wasn't able to. And you know, after 6 years in New York, stuff like that will grind you down. It'll affect your daily routine. It'll affect the way that you appear in front of other people and the things that you say. And, you know, it'll affect your players' perception of you. But, you know, I mean, he came to Buffalo. He got the monster truck. And, you know, I think he's back to the same old rejuvenated Rex again.
What about some of his coaching staff, like Greg Roman? And, of course, Greg Roman now has Shady McCoy in the backfield. The offensive line still suspect that he have possibly Matt Castle playing a quarterback. What are your thoughts on how that whole thing is going to transpire?
Well, the one thing that Rex does have going for him is I think this is by far the best offensive coordinator that he's had during his time in the league. And, you know, he's built a roster that can be versatile enough. I mean, if they decide to go with Matt Castle, you know, then I think that there's the pieces in place where Castle could at least move the ball. And Roman can adjust, too. I mean, you know, you've seen him build offenses for guys like Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. So I think that, you know, on the coaching staff at the moment, he's probably got his strongest set of coordinators that he's ever had, and I think that's a huge thing, especially if it takes pressure off Rex having to get involved on the offensive side of the ball.
Now, Connor, in that same column, that your number one choice as far as teams that are going to make the playoffs this year bounce back, you've got the New Orleans Saints, and that might perplex some given some of the offseason moves here, particularly the Jimmy Graham trade and so forth. Why is it that you think, obviously they still have Drew Brees, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback, but why is it that you think that this team is going to bounce back and get into the playoffs?
I actually loved a lot of the Saints offseason moves, and, you know, I mean, the Jimmy Graham thing was you know, I mean, that was something that you had to do. I mean, there's still only $1 million underneath the cap. But, I mean, if you have to get rid of a star player like that, a star receiver, I think the next best thing that you can do for a future Hall of Fame quarterback like Drew Brees is strengthen your offensive line and bolster the running game. Because you know, I mean, you remember during their Super Bowl run and during some of Breeze's best years, they were also in the top five in the NFL in rushing attempts. So I think that this is maybe the Saints getting back to a little bit of a power element of their game, being able to control the ball a little bit more. And, you know, I think on the defensive side of the ball, Rob, like Rex, is a guy that might need a little bit of time with his team just to get the right players in place. And this is another offseason where he's had some time to tinker with some of the guys and get the guys that can actually run his version of that 3-4 defensive play.
Now, the third team, the team behind the Bills you've got, are the Philadelphia Eagles, and they've obviously been a big offseason story here with their moves. Obviously, Shady McCoy coming, getting shipped out here, and then DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews showing up there along with Sam Bradford. What do you make of Chip Kelly here trying to revolutionize the game of pro football?
I think it's fascinating. I mean, if nothing else, it's super interesting to watch. And I think that, you know, if you're Jeffrey Lurie, you're taking a gigantic risk in a city that doesn't often reward taking gigantic risks. You're handing over, you know, the power of your personnel department to a coach, and you're supplanting a very popular general manager that put a lot of these guys, LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson and all these guys in place. So I think it's going to be an interesting subplot to see how it plays out. But in the time being, just kind of hearing, listening to Lurie talk, I was at the owners' meetings a few weeks ago, about kind of the nuances of Chip's system, and he kept calling it the power spread. And, you know, it kind of leads me to believe that maybe DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews are a better fit in this offense. And if he can get a little bit more north to south running, that'll take pressure off of any quarterback, not to mention a quarterback that the Eagles had rated on Peyton Manning's level when he came out a few years ago in Sam Bradford.
We have a lot of New York Giants fans up here, Connor. What do you think? This will be the second year that Eli Manning has been in this offensive system. We obviously saw the breakthrough season by Odell Beckham Jr. If Cruz comes back, I mean, can we expect a big bounce back by the Giants this year?
I think yes and no. I mean, on one hand, you know, Odell Beckham had a phenomenal season last year, but how hard is that going to be to replicate? I mean, you look at, big-time seasons for big-time wide receivers, and it's so rare that you get someone steadily putting up the kind of production that Odell Beckham is, because you remember that was only, you know, through 12 games, not 16. So, I mean, if he can continue that level of production, I think that the Giants might be able to make a run. But the other thing you have to remember, too, is Victor Cruz's injury was very serious. And, I mean, that's something that might take more than a year for him to come back from, you know. So I think that that's one of those things that, you know, the dream scenario of having the two of them paired together and, you know, causing headaches for opposing defenses, I think that's still a little bit far away to imagine.
Talking to Connor Orr from NFL.com. Going into the NFL draft, obviously a lot of people believe that, I will say JaMarcus Russell. I mean, that would have been absolutely.
There's a Freudian slip.
Yeah, Jameis Winston obviously is probably going to go number one to the Bucs. Is there that much of a drop-off, really, between him and Marcus Mariota?
You know, personally, I don't think so. I mean, a lot of people favor Winston. I mean, obviously, just watching his pro day, the power that he's able to put behind some of those throws, and sort of the stature, not necessarily the speed, which has been knocked, but the athleticism. I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's all comparable to, like, you know, somebody had said before, like a Ben Roethlisberger coming out of college. So, yeah, I mean, I think that he's good. But on the other hand, I don't think Marcus Mariota is as pigeonholed of a quarterback as a lot of people say he is. You know, the Titans worked him out privately and extensively under center, didn't let him take any snaps out of the shotgun, and they came away impressed, and they're probably going to draft him with the number two overall pick in the draft. So I think that when it all comes down to it, I think that Jameis might be better right out of the gate, but 4 or 5 years down the road, I think Mariota might be the better quarterback.
Connor, let me throw two scenarios at you here, and tell me if these are really off base. Is there any way in the world that Chip Kelly would in turn trade Sam Bradford to try to get up there to get Marcus? And the other scenario, how much of a player will the Jets be? How much interest do they have in Marcus Mariota?
Well, Todd Bowles did say today that he was interested in adding another quarterback, and whether that means the first round or not, or maybe some of the kind of those middle pack guys in the third or fourth round, I'm not sure. But, the first part of the question, I honestly don't think that Kelly's going to end up making that move because, like you talked about, moving to two is expensive. It's very expensive. And even if Sam Bradford is packaged in that deal, That's going to be an extremely expensive move. And, you know, all along, part of the reason that he got this job and part of the reason that he has all this power is because of these philosophies that he has. And one of his core philosophies is that drafting isn't an exact science, and you want more players than more players is better than less players. And he said that ad nauseum at the owners' meeting last week, and I just don't think he's going to abandon that philosophy, especially in his first year under total control. And, you know, to the Jets' point, too, I think they absolutely need another quarterback. And, you know, but I don't know if, you know, if Mariota falls past the Titans at number two, I think things are definitely going to get really interesting.
Talk with Connor Orr from NFL.com here in the Radio Press Box, 95.7 ESPN. Connor, what do you think is going to happen with Adrian Peterson? Is he going to end up being a Viking and going out there and playing despite the fact that he wants out of Minnesota?
I think he's going to end up being a Viking because, you know, there's one thing, and that's money, that can make this whole problem go away. And I think that, you know, you've seen before, I mean, LeSean McCoy was not happy about his trade to Buffalo until he got a brand-new contract extension. And so that's the one thing that sort of solves a lot of problems. And I think once Minnesota realizes that, and I think both sides kind of cool down, because it has been a tense couple weeks between both camps, I think once both sides come together and cool down and realize that, you know, in 2 weeks, you know, he's up for reinstatement from the commissioner, that, you know, they're going to want him in an off-season program. They're going to want him working with Teddy Bridgewater. They're going to want him back in the locker room. So I think, as the old saying goes, deadline for action.
And, you know, we talked about, like, it's been a busy offseason for a lot of teams, the Bills in particular, the Eagles. But a team that really hasn't done an awful lot is the defending Super Bowl champion Patriots. I mean, their activity has been the loss of some very key players. What do you think about their outlook? You know, is Belichick going to be able to overcome, like, a loss of those cornerbacks, particularly Darrelle Revis?
I think so. I mean, if you look at, you know, the model that the Seahawks have used that's been so popular, I mean, that they got it from the Patriots. And Belichick's always kind of made his mark on sort of this heartless, constant churning of a roster. His team doesn't need any kind of real identity in order to thrive. It's the system, it's the culture, it's all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that, yeah, I mean, losing Darrelle Revis is definitely going to be a killer. I mean, that opens up one entire side of your field. But at the same time, I think that there are things that he can do to get around it. There are strengths on his team that he can adjust. And I think there's, I mean, you know, I think, you know, people would be crazy not to say that they're still not the favorites to win the division next year.
What about the Miami Dolphins? What are your thoughts about what they've been able to do or not do this past offseason?
You know, I think that the move to sign Ndamukong Suh was interesting, although I'm not normally a fan of devoting that high of a percentage of your salary cap to a player that's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. And then you still have to redo Ryan Tannehill's contract, which apparently is going to be a substantial extension and a large portion of your cap. So I think they're hamstringing themselves a little bit, if only because, you know, Ndamukong Suh makes them better. But how much better? I mean, does it push them from an 8-8 team to a team that's going to win 12 games and make the playoffs? I don't necessarily think so. I think it was an interesting move, but a move that I don't think, you know, is timed right with where their roster is right now.
With the Jets, I mean, I know we talked about it a little earlier, but do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to end up starting a quarterback?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, I think a lot of my colleagues, and I believe so too, I still think that Geno Smith can be an okay quarterback. I think, you know, one of my colleagues, Dan Hans, has said that his cap is sort of like a season that Andy Dalton had this past year numbers-wise, and I still think that there's an element of his game that can succeed at the NFL level. That being said, there's a new GM, there's a new head coach, and the freedom that comes with that is that they have no ties to him whatsoever, and they don't have to spend any time developing him if they come in and they see that he's not working hard or he hasn't gotten any better from the year before. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick knows that system. He's worked with Chan Gailey in the past. He knows exactly how to run all those plays. So it might end up being, he might very well end up being the Jets' opening day starter this year.
All right. Well, Connor Orr, thank you so much for joining us today, man. We really appreciate it. Where can we read your stuff and follow you, sir?
Anytime on NFL.com or on Twitter at Connor T. Orr.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
you got it. No problem. Connor Orr from NFL.com. We're going to take a little break and come back. It's the Radio Press Box on 95.7 ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.